for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday afternoon, December the 30th, 1991. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn Miller is the speaker of the afternoon.
We've heard a lot of teaching and talk about prosperity, and we've seen a lot of it, but I'm concerned about how much of it is from God and how much of it is from Satan, because Satan answers prayers too. And if we require something of God or demand, I've heard people demand God, and that makes me kind of sick at my stomach, because we don't demand God, because God's a sovereign God, and He can do what He likes, and He don't have to do it the same time every time He does something, and most of the time He doesn't do it the same way, He does it different. And He even, as you can look through the Scripture, He even changes and does things different from what the Scripture says, but that doesn't give us any right to change. God is sovereign, and He can do what He wants, but we're subject to obey His Word. We have no right to change it. And so we need to come to that understanding and then to follow after. And here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God?" It says, "Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee?" And the Lord answers and says, "In tithes and offerings." And then He says, "You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation." And America has truly robbed God. And the so-called Church of God in America has robbed God. And I don't know if you're aware, but America spends more money for packets of chewing gum than all the mission money that's given to missions in all of America. They spend more money for chewing gum. And many times more money for dog food and cat food than for the mission field. Or they spend more money for that than for all that's than all the churches of America put together. There's nothing wrong with the pets, but when we are that wasteful with it, we need to, as much if we've got a pet, we need to try and feed them the scraps off the table. When I was a kid, there was nothing bought for any animals on our place, the dogs and cats, they just got what was left from the table, and that was it. I guess that's why in the Scripture it says that the woman who came to Jesus said, "But even the dogs get the crumbs," because that's what they lived on, was the crumbs off of the table. Thank the Lord that the Lord gives us more than crumbs if we obey His Word. But it says here, "Will a man rob God?" And the Lord answers through Malachi, "Yes, you will." It says, "You have robbed me. You've robbed me in tithes and offerings." And then He says, "You're cursed with a curse that the whole nation is." Now, this nation's cursed in more ways than just finances. It's cursed because we've rebelled against God in many areas, and we're cursed. We're cursed with cancer. We're cursed with the AIDS. We're cursed with other areas of blood diseases and things that there's no known cure for. They try to do everything for it, but there's really no cure for it. And Book of Deuteronomy says that if we disobey the Lord, that we'll be cursed, and we'll be cursed with curses that there's no name for. And so that's in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, and in the 27th also. And he says to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be room enough to receive it. And I've got a lot of other scriptures written down along here as we go. I got Haggai 11, 5 and 7, and Haggai 1 and 6, and different scriptures that go along with that. It says, and I will rebuke, the Lord says, that if we will be faithful to bring our tithes to the storehouse and our offerings, that the Lord will rebuke the devourer for our sake. And he will not destroy the fruit of our ground, neither will our vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of battles, the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts. And it says, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, we have been, America has been a delightsome land, but it is lately falling into distress. And I believe that the distress shall be more and more and more as the days go by. Now, let's look again at this here. The Lord says that if we bring our tithes into the storehouse, that there'll be plenty of meat or plenty of finances for the storehouse. But on the other hand, we need to know where we take our tithes, that they go to the work of the Lord. And I'm not, I'm sorry, but I don't think that the great glass cathedral, that money spent there was a wise way to spend money. Not only there, that's just an example. I think that if we're going to give money and support different areas, places of ministry, that we should be aware of what the money's being spent for. We should be able to inquire. If you inquire and want to know, that you should be able to know what the financial conditions of the ministry that you support. I don't believe that it's necessary to put the financial report of the ministry out and broadcast it to the world. But if somebody who is a contributor to that ministry, I think they have a right to know all where the finances of that ministry have gone, if they want to know. I believe that the Lord requires that that the finances should be open to those who support that ministry. I don't believe it's anybody's business who doesn't support that ministry. I don't think it's any of their business to know what the finances are used for. But if you support a ministry and you feel that you would like to know, I think you have a right to know. But we're talking about the prosperity teaching, the teaching that you can claim it, you can ask God for it, and you can decree it, and you'll get it. Well, I believe that you may get it, but there's scriptural basis if it's blessed of God. The scriptural basis says that, well, let's look back up here just in Malachi chapter 3. He says that, behold, I send my messenger, who is Malachi, and he shall prepare. Well, that's Malachi here, but it's also John the Baptist who was sent. And he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly appear in his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, the Lord Jesus, whom you delight in. We are to delight in him. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, the God of battles. But who may abide in the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall set as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now today the Lord is purifying his house. He's purifying you and me. He's purifying us as we come in praise and worship unto the Lord. He's purifying us. He's purifying us as we hear the word, hide it in our heart, and then I determine, you determine, that I will obey his word. We study it. We find areas of it that we are not obeying. Ask the Lord to forgive us, and then obey that word. Because that is, the Lord is purifying us. Then there's deliverance, such as we've been having here this afternoon. That is a purifying. And then the washing of the blood is the first purification. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's the first purification. Then getting out the spots and wrinkles from there on until we come a vessel, holy, set apart unto the Lord, a vessel of honor that is without spot and wrinkle, that is magnifying the Lord, that's making Jesus Lord of our lives. It's up to you and me individually. We have to make Jesus Lord. I cannot make Jesus Lord for you, neither can you make Jesus Lord for me. I must declare that Jesus is Lord for myself. And I declare that he is Lord. And I also declare that to the best of my ability, as I study and am taught by others, areas that I find in the Scriptures that I have not been obeying as I should, then it is my desire to change my ways and to obey the word of the Lord. Why? Because it brings God's blessing. If I want God's blessing, then it is necessary that I obey His word. I cannot decree prosperity, Abraham's blessings, because I decree it with God's blessings. I can decree it and I may get it, but it may not be from God. But I still, and you know what happens in those cases? It becomes a detriment to you and it becomes a curse. Your blessing that you receive becomes a curse to you. And what will it do? It will lead you away from the house of faith and away from the Lord. It will lead you away. There are multitudes of people who cannot handle prosperity if they had it. There are people who cannot keep a dollar in their pocket. If they have a dollar in their pocket, they have to find some place to spend it. They have a compulsion to go spend it. And they may need it for something else, but they really are not concerned about that when it's gone, they'll not have it to pay some bills or something they owe. There's multitudes of people like that. And the minute they get some money, they go and spend it. A lot of people have their bills paid out of their check when they put their check in because they're afraid that they will spend the money. Now, that's a curse. Because you should be able to carry it in your pocket and never spend it unless it's a necessity. You should carry it in your pocket. I very seldom carry money of any value in my pocket. If I have $10 in my pocket, that's a lot of money for me. But I have carried thousands of dollars in my pocket. I have carried it for days, and it didn't bother me any more than if it were a dollar. You have to learn that you have to control the spirit of pleasure. And you tell it what it's going to do, and it don't tell you. You have to be in control. And you can do it with the help of the Lord. But it goes on to say here that he's going to purge the house of Levi and so that they will bring an offering in righteousness unto the Lord. And that's what the Lord's looking for from us, an offering in righteousness. But he says in the fifth verse, he says, "And I will come near to you to judgment. And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." Then he says what? "For I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." The Lord says that because he doesn't change and because of his grace, they're not consumed. He's saying, you should be consumed, but because of my mercy, I haven't done it. But you should be because of your rebellion and against me. But the Lord requires, people say, well, that's Old Testament, but the Lord doesn't require us to pay our tithes anymore. And others teach that the Lord says that I can take my tithes and I can spend it on myself. There's a teaching that teaches that you can take the tithes and it's to be used for yourself and for your family. But God says the tithe is to come to the storehouse. Abraham gave unto the Lord the tithe. He didn't give it to himself. He gave it unto Melchizedek, who I believe, really, I forget the word that's used, but I believe that Melchizedek was Jesus, but there's a word that's used for the appearing of Jesus like that. Huh? Yes, that's it. Say that again. Christophany. I believe it was Jesus who appeared at the burning bush. I believe it was Jesus devoured the Gideon's offering. I believe that was Jesus in all these appearances. They call it the angel of the Lord. I believe that was the Lord Jesus Christ who appeared. That's my personal belief. The Lord says that we're cursed because we don't pay our tithes and give offerings. Now, it says to take it to the storehouse, wherever that storehouse is, or wherever you feel that it is. But you are required, it is your responsibility, and it's your responsibility to be faithful in it. It's your responsibility to to investigate where you put it. And then if you do it in good faith, knowing that you believe that the place where you put it is going to use it righteously, then you're not responsible. But you are responsible if you don't put it a place where the Lord shows you, or a place that you investigate to see if it's a responsible place for your finances. Then you are responsible for it. But the Lord says here that we are to bring the tithes to the storehouse that there may be meat in his house. And then he says, if you do that, you just prove me and see if I don't take care of you. See, I believe that if we follow the word of the Lord, we don't have to ask God to take care of us. I believe that we are automatically taken care of. If we do our very best to follow the word of the Lord to the best that I understand it, and then as I receive new light, I follow that new light and that understanding, I believe that God is faithful to take care of me and to take care of you. He says he will here. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. And all nations shall call you blessed, and as a nation or as an individual, we will be blessed. So, Abraham's blessings are mine, and they're yours. The blessings of the Lord of Deuteronomy belong to the household of faith, and they're ours if we obey the word of the Lord. Let me read this seventh verse, which I didn't. He says, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord says that if we keep his ordinances, keep his commandments, that if we follow after his word, he said, I will return unto you. So we can expect the Lord Jesus to be our portion as we follow after him and obey his word. Now, there are many places in the scripture, and this is what I was going to write down, but maybe I can just turn to some of them here. Here in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19 here, where Moses is encouraging the people and instructing them before the Lord takes him away, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, choose the blessing, that both thou and thy seed may live, thou, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. Now, that word cleave there is the same word that's used for man and wife to be married. And the word cleave does not mean just that I hold on to something. That word means that it is glued together, poured together, and cannot be pulled apart. That's what it means. And if it's pulled apart, it will tear in pieces and not come apart and be what it was originally. It will be torn to pieces because it has fastened itself together and become one part. Just as you take plastic and pour it, and plastic runs together, you can't separate it again. Or like you take a spot of ink, a drop of ink, and drop it in a glass of water, you can't take it back out and separate one drop out of a whole glass of water. It's discolored the whole part. So the Lord says here that we are to choose life. And if we choose life, then we will obey the word of the Lord. Let me see here. I know there's several here. I was going to look them up, but what I want is about the word of the Lord. Well, that too, but about obeying the word of the Lord. Here's one here. See, I have set before you this day life and death, good and evil. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. That's what the Lord... But I was looking for, it's going to have some scriptures that the Lord says that we're to obey the word of the Lord, that we may have life. And I thought I had them marked here, but I'm not finding them very fast. Here's one of them. It says, whatsoever thing I command you, it's the 32nd verse of the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy, It says, whatsoever thing I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. And then verse 4 of 13 says, and you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and you shall serve him. And there's that word cleave again, and cleave unto him. That we are to keep the word of the Lord and to just cleave to it. Here it says here, verse 26 of chapter 11 says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you will obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. And here, I'm over here in chapter 11, it says, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently, verse 13, unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I will give you rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and that you turn not aside and serve other gods or worship them. And then the Lord's wrath would be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heaven, and there will be no rain, and the land shall not yield their fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Therefore shall you lay up these words, these my words, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontless between your eyes, and that you shall teach them to your children. We've heard about that already. And speak of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up, that thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware to give unto your fathers, and so shall it be as the days of heaven upon the earth. So, the Lord tells us all throughout the Scripture to obey his word, to keep his commandments, that we may have long life, and that we may be protected from our enemies, and that the Lord will fight our battles for us. But there is stipulations given for us to follow. First of all, we're to fear the Lord our God. We're to serve him with a righteous fear, with a holy fear. Not with a fear of dread, but with a fear of wanting to serve him and to do everything we can to please him, to please the Lord. And then as we do that, then the Lord says that Abraham's blessings shall be ours. And I just read you some of them there, but let's see here. There's Abraham's blessings here. Where are they? They're right here in Deuteronomy 28. Is that where they're at? 27? Yes, 28. It says, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and thy flocks, and thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. And thou shalt come out against thee one way, and they shall flee before thee seven ways. And the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee. And if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in all his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground. He's repeating it here. In the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And there's a sermon right there. The land that we call Israel has never lent a dollar to anybody, but it's borrowed billions from us. And we have lent to every nation under the face of the earth. Every nation on the face of the earth, America has lent to. And it says, you shall not borrow. And we've not borrowed from one. We are a debtor nation now because of other problems. But as far as actually any nation loaning us money, no nation has ever loaned this nation anything. But we have loaned to every nation on the face of the earth. So then that ought to tell you who God's people are. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. We've been the head, but the way things are going, because of our sin, we're liable to become the tail. So we need to be intercessors and pray. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left. And then the Lord says, goes on to tell us that if we do, we'll be cursed. He told us in Malachi that we're cursed if we don't pay our tithes. We're cursed if we don't keep His word. We're cursed if we don't hide it in our heart. We're cursed if we don't testify and warn that the man or the woman of their wayward way. We're cursed if we give our neighbor a strong drink to drink. We're cursed. We're cursed if we don't look after the needy. If the scriptural basis were followed for the needy, there would be, which God laid out, there would be no need for the, what's it called, welfare. There would be no need for welfare. Because if everybody attended church, that is, church or every synagogue or every temple, whatever you want to call it, should be a storehouse. And for those who attend that storehouse, then they should be taken care of from that storehouse. Now, the Mormons have that principle, and they're doing it, but it belongs to God's people. And God's people, basically, most of them aren't doing it. Now, I'll tell you, there's one church that is doing it, and God's blessed them beyond measure. What's in Dallas, black church in Dallas? Of course, it's more white than black, but it's got a black pastor. He comes on in the evening at... Urban Renewal. Yeah. Do you know that their church is set up, divided up into areas in the town, and people who belong to, come to that church and live in certain areas, there are people who are designated to take care of them if they have a need? Do you know that nobody that attends that church is to hire or does hire anybody to work for them outside of that church unless they can't find somebody in the church who needs a job? That's God's principle. And God is blessing that place. He's blessing it. And the glory of the Lord is resting on it. And He has a wonderful teaching ministry. I wish I could think of His name. But he's a black pastor, has a glorious ministry, but His church is more white than black. But that's the precepts of that church. And He's teaching that if every church would do that, there would be no poverty amongst the Christian people. And that's the Word of God. That's God's Word. We need to come more and more to the understanding and following of the Word of the Lord for our lives so that we will be blessed with the right blessing and not with a blessing that's going to cause us heartache and trouble. Well, Charles, you got some scriptures there you want to add to what we're talking about here? Proverbs 4:20 to 23. Proverbs 4:20. Uh-huh. My son. That's all of us. My daughter. Yes. Mm-hmm. This is, we need to start at 13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. The word of the Lord. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Run from it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they sleep not, except that they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Unless they cause some mischief, they can't rest. Boy, there's people like that in this town. Unless they can cause some mischief, They can't go to bed until they've done something that some mischief. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Boy, that's the whole nation is like that. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more and more unto that perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, my daughter, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all my flesh. You want to have health in your body? Hide the word of the Lord in your heart, and then when something happens, use it. Use it. Satan, it is written, the Lord says that I will have health in all my flesh. Get out of my body. Body, receive the virtue of the Lord. Body, receive the word of the Lord. Body, receive the scars and stripes of the whipping post. Body, be ye strong in Jesus. That's right. Make it do that. I talk to my body. It gets angry sometimes. And I tell it, amen. Get in line. It says, for the words of the Lord, hide them in your heart. Don't let them depart from you. For their life unto all that find them, and their health to all your flesh. That reminds me of Derek Prince. He got a eczema or something when he was in the desert when he was fighting Rommel or Rommel. When he was fighting Rommel over there in the desert, he got an eczema on his body that they couldn't do nothing for him. It just and out in the desert in the hot was the worst place for him to be with it. And they just couldn't help him. And the Lord gave him this scripture right here. It says, and there's another scripture about medicine. Medicine is something. Anyway, he took those scriptures and he said, well, Lord, I'm going to take my medicine every day. And he set a time to go read the medicine. Take his medicine. This is his medicine. He went and took his medicine, certain time every day. He said, if the doctor give me medicine, tell me what time to take it. So I'm setting a time every day to take my medicine. And he went and started doing that, and it disappeared. Disappeared. But the doctors couldn't help him. So the word of the Lord is medicine unto us, and it will bring health to all of our flesh. It says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips. Put it far from thee. Let thine eyes look not to the right or to the left, but let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So it's up to us to determine and then to accomplish by the word of the Lord that we'll walk in the ways of the Lord and we'll make His word our life. For it is our life. His word is our life. And I decree that the word of the Lord, to hide it in my heart, that I sin not against the Lord, and then recall when it's needed. You know, it isn't... I can't tell you the chapter and the verse, but I can go find what I want, or I can tell you what I want. But if I'm talking to somebody and need the word of the Lord from them, I don't need to tell them chapter and verse, just as long as I tell them, this is the word of the Lord. You know, and I don't... when you speak the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord. You don't say that, but I mean, that's what it is. When you quote to Satan, you say Jesus became my curse, Satan. That is, thus saith the word of the Lord. Satan, Jesus is my curse. I don't have to live under the curse because Jesus became my curse. Or whatever. And that, of course, there's the word of the Lord that comes by prophetic word. But there is this word here, which is the important word that we need to hold and dear to us. So that we'll have God's blessing and not God's curse. Amen. Got anything else, Charles? Amen. Well, I just think that we need to every one of us need to make a declaration to the Lord that we're going to study His Word. We're going to make that a part of us, and we're going to live by it. Now, as you read and study the Word of the Lord, don't try and say that passed away when the New Testament was written. Because the only things that literally passed away is all of the sacrificial offerings that Jesus became. He became the sacrifice. And all of those sacrificial offerings passed away. No longer needed, because Jesus is our sacrifice. But that did not do away with thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, and all the other things that God says we shall not do. They still are in existence. And if you really want to serve the Lord and have God's blessings, you'll not try to take and twist the Scripture and say that that's done away with or this or that. You will say, Lord, it looks like I see something there that I need to change my ways, because it looks like it says this or this. And if that's right, Lord, you convict me of it and help me to understand it, and then help me to obey it, so that I'll walk in obedience to your word and in the fear of not doing righteousness before the Lord. It's better to do a few things that we don't have to do than to do one thing we shouldn't. That's right. It's better to do something it's not required of me, which is all okay, than to do one thing that I shouldn't do that will cause sin or heartache in my life or somebody else's. So we need to, each one of us, make up our mind that we're going to serve the Lord and be whole. Well, let's go back. Let's go over here to, I think it's in Peter here. Yes, it's in the first chapter of 1 Peter. Then there's a scripture that says, be without spot and wrinkle. It's going to have a church without spot and wrinkle. But here in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, verse 15, well, let's look at verse 14. It says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust in your ignorance. In our ignorance. But now we're no longer ignorant, see? It says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And then it says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, where is it written? Where did Peter pick that up? Well, he picked that up from Leviticus 19, verse 2. Chapter Leviticus 19 and 2, it says that we're to be holy because the Lord is holy. And Peter has picked it up and brought it over here. Now, if you say we don't have to obey anything out of the Old Testament, you see, Peter did. He picked it up and brought it over here. And included in here. And it says that we're to be holy because the Lord is holy. Now, Revelations 22, and I'm done. Revelations 22, verse 11. It says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, if they won't want to repent and turn from their ways, just let all you can do is let them be filthy still. And he which is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he which is holy, let him be holy still. It says, and behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according to his works. Big statement. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's Jesus. And he says, blessed are they that do my commandments, that we may have a right to the tree of life. So, the Lord says that blessed are those that do His commandments. Then it goes on down here and says, if we don't, that if we add to or take away, that all the plagues that are written in this book will come upon us. All the plagues that are written in this book. And I read a few of them to you. And the book that he's talking about there is the book. This book, which magnifies Jesus and brings us to the Lord Jesus. Well, help us to be faithful in serving the Lord. If we want Abraham's blessings, let us be faithful in our finances. Let us be faithful in our prayer life. And let us be faithful in obeying the word of the Lord. And as we do those things, we will have Abraham's blessings. They will be yours. And and we'll have his blessing and not his curse. Father, I pray that our hearts will be unto you, and our desire will be unto the King, the Lord Jesus. And I thank you for that, Father, and I thank you for instilling that within us, Father, a desire to serve you, to make Jesus truly Lord of our lives, and to hide your word in our heart, that we might not sin against thee, but we may obey it willingly, Lord, that we may be a glory unto you. Help us, Lord, not to grumble and complain and say, oh, do I have to do that? Oh, is that for me today? Father, help us not to do that, but help us to follow after your word and to walk in it willingly in the fear that we'll disobey you, Father, but that we want to obey you and to be pleasing unto you for Jesus' sake. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, Mother dear. Here, up here, so we can hear you.
When I was just out of school, I was 18. It was 1919. And a man who was a friend of us and had a grocery store, he offered me a job in the grocery store, which I took at $7 a week. And I thought I was rich. In 1919, $7 a week was a lot of money. Well, when I was raised in the Methodist Church, and I put down on my little card that I was tithing 70 cents a week. My mother and father taught us to tithe from children up, and so have they been taught that. And the head treasurer of the Long Methodist Church in Springfield, Illinois, called me into his office. And he says, Lita, you've signed here that you'll give 70 cents a week. And I was dumbfounded. I said, well, yes, Mr. Bruce, why? He said, well, you can't give 70 cents a week. And I said, well, why not? And he said, well, are you taking out your streetcar fare and any other expenses? And I said, oh, Mr. Bruce, my mother taught us that we give our tithe first. And not after other, I might not have anything left. And he said, will you come to work for me? It was a Bruce sewing machine company. He had a big store downtown in Springfield, Illinois. Sold pianos and other musical instruments and sewing machines, but it was Bruce sewing machine company. And I said, come to work for you? What'll I do? Well, just work in the office. But he said, if you will, I'll start you at $10 a week. $10? Now, that may be funny to you, but boy, that was a lot of money to me. $10 a week. So I said, oh, I sure will. Well, the people at the grocery store, they would have raised my wages to keep me, but I'd already told Mr. Bruce I would come. Well, I was 18, and I was 19 when I got married. A year later, when I got married and left there, he had raised my wages to $13 a week. I thought I was really rich, $13 a week for me. And that was a lot of money then. But that's how the Lord answered, by my faithfulness to him. And he'll do the same for you. I could go on. I could tell you how the bank closed and we lost everything we had and how the Lord supplied. But we'll leave that for another time. But remember, if you keep God's word and walk in the path that he sets for you, he'll make you a blessing, not only to yourself and your family, but to those around you. The Lord bless you.
I remember, I've come up through, was born before the Great Depression and before the days of the Dust Bowl and the droughts and before the bank. Daddy put all the money in the bank from, they had sold the farm and everything we had, and he went to the bank and put all the money in the afternoon and that night, and there was a line there at the teller's windows, and he thought that there was people cashing their checks, but it was actually people withdrawing their money who had heard that there was problems, and the bank closed that night and never did reopen with every penny that had come in from Daddy selling the farm and everything to move to another place. And, of course, we were without a place to live because we had sold, had to leave. But the Lord took care and supplied. But
one of the
You're too far away. If you're going to talk, you come on up here, Mama. Oh, but the tape don't hear you.
Where'd I leave off?
Your uncle. Your uncle died.
Well, anyway, he had left his money to his brothers and sisters, and I was one of six children of one of the brothers. And when the bank closed, I wonder now how we didn't have any money. We sold our cattle, our hogs, our horses, our farm machinery. The only thing we kept was a pickup truck. And we didn't know what to do. And so we saw in the paper a little house was going to be auctioned off in Springfield, Illinois. And in the meantime, I got a letter from the court saying that my portion of my father's inheritance was $1,200. That's like $12,000 now. $1,200? And so we went to this auction of this little house in Springfield, and that little house brought $1,200. And we had the cash to pay for that little house. $1,200. Well, my husband got a job at the greenhouse a couple blocks away for $15 a week. And I went out and solicited laundries to do laundries. And then my husband wanted to go back for me. He said that wasn't for him. But so he rented a little, an 80-acre farm for $400 and put the house up for sale for auction. And it dropped $1,200. And we had enough money to buy a couple horses, a couple cows, and some pigs, hogs, and to pay the rent. So praise the Lord, God will take care of you. There's so many instances in our life that has been like that, that God has led and taken care of us. Praise Him. Oh, I love it. I love it.
I remember, now this farm she's talking about, I remember that the drought, the great drought of the Dust Bowl days. And Daddy had planted 40 acres of corn, and it was drying up. It was, everybody's crops were drying up, and it was drying up. And Daddy walked out across that 40 acres and prayed for that 40 acres, and that night it rained on that 40 acres of corn, and we had 40 acres of corn, and nobody else had any. That's right. God's faithful. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He used us. We had a prayer meeting in our front yard there and there. And then you could buy a postal card for a penny. We found out the names of the neighbors around. We didn't know them. And we sent out postal cards that were going to have a man who had been a dope fiend preaching in our front yard on Sunday afternoon. We had the front yard full. And from that meeting, the Lord used us to start a Pentecostal church in Edinburgh, Illinois. Mm-hmm. We've been going to the Methodist church, and we were so hungry for more of the Lord. And the Lord used that meeting and started, had a tent meeting then in Edinburgh.
Edinburgh, and then in Pawnee.
Yeah.
Amen. Did all that in between farming and milking the cows. Amen. But the Lord, you see, the Lord is faithful. He is faithful. He is Lord. Amen. Well, I don't know anything. We could talk about lots of things the Lord's done for us. All of us, what's the scripture say? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Amen. Anybody else want to say, testify? Huh? Yes, Ray?
I just wanted to say, in line with the tithing, the Lord proved to Hilda and me also that if you will obey Him, He will bless you. We were at church in Reedsburg, Wisconsin, and there was a missionary there, and when the offering time came, I was already retired, so our pocketbook said, "Well, you have very little that you can give," and the Lord said to me, "I want to give you this, not what you have there. I want you to give this." And so Hilda had the checkbook in her pocket, and I told Hilda, "You write the check out for this, because that's what the Lord said." There was about 2 weeks left till the end of the month before I could get another retirement check. We had $5 left in the account, and we did not go hungry. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, we've read in the Bible where the meal of oil, where the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil didn't fail, and we can depend on that today from the Lord as is necessary. We have a friend, Bill Pyatt, who did live in Phoenix. He's moved back up to Oregon or somewhere now recently. But during the Cuban crisis, or before the Cuban crisis, he was a businessman, and he had nothing to do with God. He was just making money hand over fist, you know. And what he was doing, he was buying up all the surplus army equipment that was left on the islands around out different places, and that was here in America. He's buying up surplus airplanes and tanks and all this stuff, and he was selling it to Castro. You know, he was buying it from the American government, and they were allowing him. He had a license to do it. You see the foolishness of our government. And then he was reselling it to Castro. But, of course, there was transactions in fact, you know. He was buying from the government, depending on Castro to pay it off. Well, when the Cuban crisis came, that closed everything out. And he owed the government, I don't know, a whole million or $2. And Castro owed him several million dollars. But Castro, of course, didn't pay him anything. And, of course, he couldn't pay the government. Castro already had the material down there, sold it to him, but that's just too bad. So here he's bankrupt. I mean, he is bankrupt. And he's such trouble with it, he's got ulcers so bad that the doctor said they can't even help him with it. He's done. Well, anyway, somebody gets him to go to the Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting up in Stockton, or no, it was up in San Francisco area. Across the bay? What's the town across the bay? Oakland. Over in the Oakland area. Got him to go to a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting there. He was a sinner. Didn't believe in, you know, salad. That's good. That's only for the ones who want it. Anyway, he went, and somebody, Demas, I believe, or somebody, called him up out of the audience and said he needed prayer for his body, and if he'd come up, the Lord would heal him. And here he's just about to die from ulcers and other nerves and all this. And he gets up and goes up, and they pray for him, and the Lord instantly healed him. Now, I've got a reason for telling you this. It's not just because God healed him. And then he got saved. Bill got gloriously saved. And then somebody gave him a little house to live in out in Palmdale area, out in the desert, Lancaster, Palmdale, out there in the Mojave Desert. They gave him a little house to live in, and people brought in food and gave him food. So he and his wife, and I think they had two children that were still at home at this time, were living out here in this little house out in the desert, really destitute. He was just recovering from the Lord healing. And they had an ice box and a freezer in this little house, and they had no income. And the Lord told Bill to fill two boxes or baskets is what he said, fill two baskets with food out of their house and take it down here 2 or 3 miles to a shack down here in the desert where an old man and woman lived and give it to them. And Bill says, Lord, you know all I've got is here. I don't know where any more is coming from. But he felt so impressed to do it that he told his wife, we've got to fill two baskets and take down and leave it. So they did. He took it down when they got there. Nobody was home. So they felt impressed to leave it, so they set it inside the house, I think, and left. And went back home. And his wife said, I hope you know what you're doing. And so the next morning, she gets up to go fix breakfast. And I don't know what she's going to make, bacon and eggs and pancakes and something. She goes to the icebox or to the cupboard to get something out. And there's back there what she had taken away. Something's gone. It's back. And she goes to look someplace else, and the more she looks, and then she starts to holler for Bill. And every item that they'd taken out of that house and given, taken down the road, was back on the shelf and in the icebox and in the freezer. God had replaced every item. Now, they were in destitute as far, but that wasn't in hard times yet then. If we come, which we probably will, to a day when there is hard times like there was in the Depression days. Now, there's hard times for a lot of people. They're without homes and they need food and like that. But God is still faithful. He's still the God that supplies our needs. And if he did it for the woman and her son, and he did it for Bill Pyatt, and he's done it, I can tell you two more stories where he has multiplied the actual food that was being eaten. He'll do it for you and me when the need comes. But in the meantime, we're not to be fearful and unbelieving. We are to be believing believers and realize that God will take care of us when the necessity arises. And he is taking care of us here, and he's taking care of all of you, and he is the God of our supply. And Jesus is his name. Amen. Well, okay.
I don't normally do this, and I don't think we've taken our offering, have we? Did we take our offering?
No, I never even thought of it.
No, I didn't think you did. And I'm not one to take an offering, but we're going to take an offering.
Hallelujah.
We just can't get away with not doing that, I feel. I want to read a few passages because we're very quick to quote a scripture, but we seldom consider the context. And what God has been really saying to Brother Glenn is how God will manage his own and take care of his own in time of need if we'll line up with his word and seek him. And in Matthew 6, I just really want to kind of read it while you prepare your hearts. It says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to one and despise the other." Here's the context. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, what's the therefore? Because I can't serve God and mammon, right? I'm going to serve one or the other. "Therefore I say unto you," he's speaking to his disciples, "take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air," those lazy rascals, "they don't even sow." That's really what he's saying. They don't sow. They don't punch a time clock. "They neither sow nor do they reap, nor gather into barns." They don't have a storage house. "Yet," somebody say yet.
"Yet.
Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" Amen. "Are you of not more," it says, "my margin, of much more value?" But God feeds them, and they don't have the value that you have. "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto a stature? Which of you by being worried," it says in the margin, worry. God's going to cast out the worry off of his people. "And why do you take thought for your raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow," paraphrase, "shall he not much more," say much more, "clothe you, O ye of little faith?" And therefore, he says, take no thought, don't be concerned, saying, "What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Now watch this, because this is the context by which he's saying these things. He's not telling them that working is, that they're not to work, and they're to be a bum, and they're to be, unprofitable. The Bible balances it by saying that he doesn't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. But what he is trying to say, that all worry and stress and running after money and running after these things, verse 32, "for all these things do the Gentiles seek." You see? For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Say, Father knoweth,
Father knoweth
that you have need of these things.
That I have need of these things.
Now, what I do, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Things. Say, all these things. What things? That what I'm going to eat, that which I'm going to drink, that which I'm going to be clothed with. All of these things shall be added unto you. Bottom line, he's saying, if we will make God our priority and the kingdom of God our priority, he's not saying slack off, don't work, but we're not working as if that job is our provider. We're working because God has provided a job. And if that job should go, God will still take care of us because we've got our priorities right. God is the one that we're seeking in God's righteous kingdom and standard. And because we're seeking Him, if He gives us a job that blesses us and take care of our needs, wonderful. But if we'll line up with the principle, your Heavenly Father who feeds these little birds, amen, and clothes the lilies of the field, He clothes them, takes care of them. How much more you are much more value than they. All of these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry. Take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take care, take thought for the things of itself. I'd like to talk a little bit about that. How many of you know when you line up with the laws of the universe, all of heaven comes to your aid? Or don't you know that? It's the way God operates. Someone said God takes the same path through the universe. When He lays down a principle, it's the way He operates. And if you'll operate under that principle, it'll work. You don't have to, as Glenn said, continue every day, oh my, how are we going to do? Your Heavenly Father knows. If you will line up with the principle, all of heaven will come to your aid. The windows of heaven will be over you. You see, some of us, maybe not. You don't need finances. Maybe you need your family to be healed. Maybe you need your marriage to be healed. Maybe you need some other situation. But the windows of heaven will be open to you. And it speaks of God's blessing that comes to you. Amen? The devil didn't give it, and guess what? The devil can't take it away. Amen? So he says, take no thought for tomorrow shall take care the things of itself. He's really saying, don't worry. Worry. The Bible commands us specifically. Worry is sin. Say that with me. Worry is sin. God commands us, do not worry. Philippians 4. Oh, while I'm going on here, we're going to take an offering in a moment. I just really believe it's an hour that we need to understand. God can take care of us. Amen?
Amen.
Are you there? Philippians 6, 4 and 6. Well, let's take verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, by the way, this is a man who's in prison. Amen? He's kind of shut up to his circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all your understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the Scripture tells us not to worry, that we're not to be like the Gentiles, wondering what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, how we're going to make it. We're going to make it because we're seeking the kingdom, seeking God's priorities, and God will make our needs His priorities. Amen? How many of you believe that? Sufficient thereof is the evil for that day. So we take it one day at a time, and we thank God that He is the one who meets our needs because we seek Him and His standard. I don't know what happened to the offering basket, Brother Glenn. I want you just to obey the Lord in this offering. Bless the Lord. Meet the needs represented in this camp and for the campgrounds and all the other things that have to go on. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You that You care for us. We're much more value than the birds. Lord, You take care of us, Father God, because we're of much more value than the grass that's here today and gone tomorrow. We're going to live with You for all eternity, Lord God, and we ask in the name of Jesus that You would allow, Lord God, faith to arise in the hearts of Your people, that we will not become fearful like the world. Men, You said in the last days, their hearts would fail them with fear, Lord, because they've trusted in another rock, but our rock is not like their rock. Lord, you're a mighty God, and you're able to provide. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. They that dwell therein, the cattle on 1,000 hills are yours. The silver and the gold is yours. You're able to take care of us, Father. Now, Father, we ask that you'll release us from worry, a spirit of worry. Bind that off of your people, Father. Lord, that there would be a spirit of faith that would arise, a spirit of tenacity to take a hold of our God and to accomplish, Lord, the work that you've given us to do. And so we bless you now, Father, and we bless your people, Lord, as they give. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.